Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on God's will for your healing was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I'm not sitting there trying to put anybody down, but I'm saying that, see, it's amazing how people just pick and choose and they say, oh, I'm like the Apostle Paul. Paul said this happened because of the abundance of the revelation. If you haven't got abundance of revelation like the Apostle Paul, you got no business claiming his thorn in the flesh. Amen? Plus, his thorn in the flesh wasn't sickness. Look at this. In verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Now, he mentions this twice in this verse. He starts off by saying that at the end, and he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure. When people think about being exalted above measure, they immediately think that this is talking about arrogance and pride. And so this thorn in the flesh came to bring Paul down and to keep him humble and keep his feet on the ground. I've heard people say that exact thing. But there are so many scriptures that talk about humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures that talk about God exalting you. And God will set you on high and make you all of these things in the sight of other nations and that they will envy you. Not all exalting is bad. But people have a predisposition. They are looking for something that is justifying being sick. Forgive me for being blunt. But this is something that people read stuff into these verses because it fits what they want the word to say. They have a predisposition, a prejudice that God doesn't heal because they haven't seen healing work for themselves. And so they're looking for something that will justify them not being healed. And so they read stuff into this. There is a godly exalting. And I believe that this is talking about that Paul was being exalted by God to such a degree that there was given unto him a messenger of Satan. Look at this. It says in this seventh verse, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. It clearly says, I mean, you can't make it any clearer than this, that this was the messenger of Satan, not the messenger of God. And yet people ascribe this to God, that God did this to him to humble him. No, there was a godly type of exalting. This was a demonic messenger. The word messenger here is used 300 and something times in the New Testament, and there's less than a dozen of those times that it referred to people. The other times it was all referring to angels. It's always referring, nearly always referring to angels. This is talking about that there was an angel, a demonic angel, that was assigned to the Apostle Paul. And it says it was from Satan. Not from God. This did not come from God. God did not do this to the Apostle Paul. I don't know why it's so hard to see that. It's just the fact that it's been said so often. It has been misrepresented so often. You know, this is what the communist and propaganda was all about. You just tell a lie so many times. After a while, people begin to start putting some stock in it because it's been repeated so often. They can't tell what the truth is anymore. And we've heard this said so many times, but this says that it was a messenger of Satan, not a messenger of God. A messenger of Satan. And notice it says that it was a thorn in the flesh. You know, to most people here, most of us do not really study the word the way that we should, but to the Jewish mindset that Paul was writing to, did you know that this was a terminology that was familiar to them? The Jews had to memorize the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the Pentateuch, and that they memorized that, the young man did. And in those books, man, there are instances where it uses this terminology. Let me just use a couple of them here over in Numbers chapter 33. I believe it's verse 35. Look at this passage. It's talking about the Jews driving out all of the inhabitants of the land, and it says, if you don't do it, in verse 55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. This same thing is said, the exact same thing is said in Judges chapter it's Joshua chapter 23, verse 13, I believe, and Judges chapter 2, verse 13, or 3, somewhere around there. Three different times I could turn to them and show you. It's talking about that people are pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. This is a terminology that they were familiar with, and it dealt with people. And so this messenger of Satan was a thorn in the flesh. It was a prick in his side. It was talking about people. And here's, and I'm going to explain this more in detail in a minute, but here's what I believe basically that he's saying that his thorn in the flesh was. It wasn't sickness. God didn't make him sick. That's contrary to everything else. That by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases. God didn't make the Apostle Paul sick. But there was a demonic messenger, a demon that stirred up persecution through people, which is what all of these verses were talking about. These people are going to persecute you. These people are going to be a problem to you if you don't drive them out. And he said that there was a demonic messenger that stirred up persecution wherever he went. I believe it's in Acts chapter 20, around verse 33, the Apostle Paul said, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's waiting for me, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses that in every city, bonds and afflictions abide me. The Apostle Paul suffered affliction and persecution wherever he went. When Paul went into a town, you know, we go and check into a hotel. Paul would go by the jail and he says, save a spot. Amen. I'll be there. I'll be back. Because Paul was going to go to jail. Paul was persecuted. He said this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that it seems like God has set forth us, talking about him and the guys that traveled with him last, as it were, appointed unto death. We are persecuted. You're blessed. We suffer. Says we are made like the filth of the world and the offscourge of everything. Paul was rejected and persecuted more than anybody else. You know why? Because there was a demonic messenger that Satan had assigned to him to keep him from being exalted. I mean, the Apostle Paul was speaking under divine revelation. The words that he spoke were powerful. People's lives were being changed. He would be thrown into jail, and the whole jailer and all of the jail would be saved, and miracles were happening. People were raised from the dead. Eutychus was raised from the dead. Miracles were happening through the Apostle Paul. And you know what? Satan saw this as he was being exalted, and so what he did was afflict him with persecution in such a way that it made people think twice before they wanted to accept this God that the Apostle Paul worshiped, because look at the way he suffered. And so Satan just assigned a demon to him that was just to buffet him. The word buffet means a repeating type of thing. It wasn't a one-time situation. It isn't describing one thing. The word buffet means that it's repeated. Like if you look it up in the dictionary, it uses the way that a wave beats the shore. It just hits it and then retreats and hits it again. It's just constant. It's over and over and over. This isn't talking about a singular thing that the Apostle Paul had. It's just talking about a repeated buffeting by this demonic messenger. And then in the next verse, it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now somebody might ask this question. If what you're saying is true, and if this was a demonic messenger that persecuted him, and if it was persecution, why did Paul pray to be delivered from persecution? Doesn't it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? Yes, it does. Guess who said that? Paul. He hadn't written that yet. 2 Timothy was one of the prison epistles written towards the end of his life. This was a long time before that. He hadn't got that revelation yet. He knew that he had authority over the devil, and so he was just believing and he was asking God for deliverance from this demonic thing. Notice also that the Apostle Paul said that he sought the Lord thrice on this thing, three times. You know, most of you, if I was to ask, how many times have you prayed about this healing? Most of you couldn't say, well, it's three times or four times. You'd have to say hundreds, thousands of times I've been asking. We just pray and throw a prayer out there, but the Apostle Paul was used to getting his prayers answered. He didn't just pray over things over and over and over. He prayed and believed he received and didn't do this, but this was unusual for him. He says, there was three times I asked God for this. That's a whole different message, but that's a powerful truth right there. It gives an insight into the way that the Apostle Paul believed God. But he besought the Lord three times, and I believe it's because he knew that he had authority over the devil, and he was asking the Lord to deliver him from this. But here's the Lord's answer in verse 9. And the Lord said unto him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And here is probably the number one reason that people have supposed that Paul's thorn in the flesh was sickness, is because of this use of the word infirmity. And to us today, the connotation that we put with the word infirmity is nearly always sickness. That's what we think of when you say you have an infirmity. We even call a hospital in a military base an infirmary. And we associate it with sickness. But if you look the word infirmity up in the dictionary, it means any lack or inadequacy. And this is the way that it's used in Scripture. Like, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's not talking about sickness, because the very next phrase says, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It tells you what an infirmity is. Not knowing how to pray about a situation is an infirmity. That's the scriptural use of this word. And so just not understanding the situation, not knowing exactly how to pray, is an infirmity. And you know, Jesus, when he prayed and groaned in the Spirit, that's what it's talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Jesus groaned in the Spirit in John chapter 11 when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus had an infirmity, not a sin, not a sickness, nothing like that, but his physical body had to be taught. He didn't come out of the womb speaking Hebrew.
I'd like to encourage you to get this teaching about healing that I made from the Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar. You know, I've taught on this a lot, but I had many of my own staff say that they really liked this one, that they thought that it was balanced, that I answered a lot of the questions that people have about healing. And I think it could not only be a blessing to you, but this could be a great set for you to take and to share with someone else. If you aren't sick, or if you don't know anybody who's sick, I can guarantee you, you will. And so the time to prepare is now. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer and please take advantage of this and get this teaching on healing that was made at the Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar.
This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM239 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.